Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners out there. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. With us today, as usual, is Steve Cromer, and I am Janice Cromer, the director of AGLCA. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge and thank our very, very appreciated Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which of course encompasses the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways. Then we've got the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, which is our acronym, is an organization of people who share that sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our association's primary purpose is to get you information and enhance the overall experience of those learning about, dreaming of, as well as exploring and cruising the Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to become a member. As we said last week, many of our loopers will be spending the summer in the Chesapeake. Tom Hale, the cruising guide for the Chesapeake Bay for Waterway Guide, has agreed to come back this week and pick up where he left off on telling us about Chesapeake, navigating, marinas, just everything you'd like to know. If you have any questions or comments for Tom that relate to the Chesapeake, please call us toll-free, 877-497-1815. Okay, Tom, welcome back, and thanks again for being on again.
Thank you, Janice. I want to just mention that I am here today with the generosity of Milton Parks on Tangier. There's no cell service out here, so I'm at the home of Milton Parks. He's got a great marina. And I thought I'd start today. Several people followed up after last week's show and asked me some questions, so I thought I would try and answer those on the assumption others have them.
Oh, that's great, Tom. Thank you.
Sure. One of the most common questions is, what must I see? And that depends on how long will you be here. So last week we touched on Solomon's, St. Michael's, and Annapolis as sort of the big three. But what I've found seems to interest a lot of people is actually some of the more remote towns, particularly over on the eastern shore, such as Oxford, which is a small town, Nancock, Cape Charles, and my personal favorite is Tangier Island. And Tangier Island is just pure Americana. It's a waterman community. It's an island. You can't go to work at Walmart or 7-Eleven. You have to work the water. And visiting this island and sitting on Main Street and watching the children and the families, it's like a Norman Rockwell moment. So I hope everybody who has the time will visit Tangier. Okay. Another question that people often ask, because loopers are not just out there for a weekend or a short cruise, they want to know where can they reprovision. Obviously, a number of marinas do have loaner cars, which is very handy. But there are at least three towns that are very convenient to walk to a grocery store. And there are also towns that I think should be high on the list of places to visit. Urbana, Virginia is a beautiful historic colonial port with several very nice marinas. And it's a very short walk to a very nice grocery store and ABC liquor store.
Steve and I actually spent a night in Urbana. It was lovely. We really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Every waterfront town has its big festival, whether it's an oyster festival or a strawberry festival or something. And the Urbana Oyster Festival is, I won't say world-renowned, but in the cruising world, it's well-renowned. It's early November. Lots of oysters and not too much, and a lot of beer. But it's a great time. There are thousands of people that come to it. Anyway, Urbana is a very convenient stopover. St. Michael's is a block and a half walk. Oxford's only a block walk, but it is a small store. As I say, other places will have loaner cars, but if you need something and you need, you know, you don't know if there's a loaner car, these are three easy stops and worth visiting. So the other question, another question I got from people was questions about, if you will, the hazards or the problems on the bay. And if I went over all of that, it would be a very short radio show because there's nothing to talk about. But I do want to caution you that the Chesapeake Bay, as with many other bodies of water, has had a lot of navigation aid changes. So it is important to make sure you're using up-to-date charts or chart chips. All of the major harbors and popular anchorages that I'm aware of have been dredged recently. So whether it's Smith Island or Tangier or Little Wicomico, everything seems to be in very good shape in that regard. The one exception is the always troublesome Tillman Knapp's Narrows. But basically, right now is a great time to cruise the bay because there are very few places that need dredging. Another popular concern, particularly people who've just come up to the rendezvous, is crab pots because Albemarle Sound can be thick with them. And the Chesapeake Bay has, in my opinion, undeserved reputation for them. But let me tell you a little bit about the crab pots. They're quite easy to avoid. In the springtime, you'll find in early April, you'll find that they're set in the deep water. So if you stay in water 20 feet or less, you'll miss them. Once the water warms up, they move into the shallow water, and if you stay in the deep water, you'll miss them. You generally are going to find that it's easy enough to get around them. Any place you see them along the shores, you know you have at least 4 feet of water. One of the unique differences between Virginia and Maryland is, in Maryland, they can't put crab pots in the rivers. So once you're in Maryland, and when you want to anchor for the night, you'll be able to find an anchorage without any worry about the crab pots. The other piece of commercial fishing hardware you're likely to see are what's called pound nets, which are long rows of stakes, perhaps a quarter mile long, stretching out from the shore. These are actually pine tree logs that are driven into the bay. And they're pretty nasty if you come up on them at night. They only are fished for a year, so you can't find a map or a chart that will show you where they are. Mm-hmm. So if you're running the bay at night, you want to stay in water at least 20 feet deep because they don't seem to move these out in water deeper than 20 feet.
Okay.
So that's only really a hazard at night. In the daytime, you're bound to see them. Related to that is wrecks. Everybody who's cruised the ICW and the Chesapeake Bay sees wrecks showing up on the charts all the time, and most of them aren't there. So we can get kind of relaxed about dealing with wrecks. And on the Chesapeake, there are three that you do need to be aware of. One is still above the water up by Smith Island. It's called American Mariner. It's a target ship that's still there. And off of Tangier, there are two old target ships that are now below water, but there's a lot of wicked steel just inches below the water. So those are two areas where you want to observe the caution on the chart about wrecks.
Sure.
Other than that, you're pretty much safe to go anywhere.
Do you know how long the wrecks have been there, Tom?
Probably, what year is this? About, the American Mariner was used in the 60s. The wrecks here off Tangier are from the early part of the 20th century, I think 1918. This wreck out here, the Hannibal, was the very first ship that was sunk by an aircraft. And
that's
interesting,
my goodness.
I think it was 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And the Army flew out of Langley Field down by Pocosin and was able to hit and sink a anchored ship. And unfortunately, that steel is just below the water, and I'm not making up the risk and the concern. It actually did claim two lives about 6 years ago when someone ran into it at night, because it's you can't see it. It's marked, but if you don't see the mark, it's there. Anyway, don't worry about it. Just be aware that it's there.
It's there.
Yeah. A little bit about our weather. Generally speaking, May is going to be the nicest month when you'll have good breezes. If you're in a sailboat, which most loopers are not, the Southern Bay always has better winds than the Northern Bay. Generally speaking, whether you're in a sailboat or a powerboat, winds in the Upper Bay are going to be lighter. And also, there's usually enough of a breeze, even in the middle of the summer, that except on those blistering hot nights, you'll be able to anchor and have a cool breeze coming through the cabin. Let's see. The normal winds in the summer.
What is the average temperature in the summer in the Chesapeake, Tom?
The average air temperature is the average daytime high. Of course, it varies because down at the Norfolk area, you're cooled by the sea. But it's approximately 90 degrees in the daytime.
That warm, wow.
And the bay water temperature will, in the creeks, get up over 80. But that being said, it's great to go swimming in 80-degree water.
You'd really enjoy it.
And I won't deny that many people cruising in August find that they want to go to marinas on those very hot nights. But many people cruise, hundreds of people are cruising every night all summer long out on the bay, and they're anchored and they're doing just fine.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And let's see.
Is there any rainy season? I think you mentioned that last week.
There's no real rainy season. Like anywhere along the East Coast, winter and early spring, you can get a nor'easter that'll settle in for several days of cold rain.
Uh-huh.
But by the time you get into this time of year, your precipitation comes with a thunderstorm, and sure, we get them like any place else, but it's no better and no worse.
When we first moved to the Charleston area, we used to have a joke: if it's thunderstorming, it's 3 o'clock. We had a thunderstorm every day at 3 o'clock for the whole summer.
Well, Janice, you raise a good point that cruisers need to be aware of. Most cruisers do keep a weather eye out, but.
Uh-huh.
I like to make sure when I'm anchored that I am anchored in a place that's open to the south so I get a breeze, but has some sort of protection from the west, because that's where the thunderstorms come from.
Tom, if I can interrupt you for a minute, I think we're going to break for a commercial from Homeport Marina, a very valued Commander sponsor.
Homeport Marina is the Alabama Gulf Coast premier facility, located in beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama. Amenities include concrete floating docks, 30, 50, and 100-amp electrical services, Valtech gasoline and diesel, phone, cable, wireless internet is available, pump-out facilities, and 24-hour restrooms, showers, and laundry. Homeport Marina is a proud Commander sponsor of the AGLCA. For more information, visit www.homeportmarina.net.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, Tom, where would you like to pick up? I don't know how much you have to speak about since we did have a full half hour last week, but you want to talk about is fine.
I want to get back into some other popular anchorages, but I also just want to speak about two other of the areas, the wildlife that people have concerns about. One is flying insects, i.e. mosquitoes, and Chesapeake Bay cruisers will tell you that the secret to avoiding mosquitoes is anchor out. You will have mosquitoes when you're at a marina. When you're anchored 100 yards away from it, you'll have very, very few. So, yes, there certainly are mosquitoes out here, but if you're at anchor, you have far, far fewer of them. And the other concern that people have is our jellyfish up here, which we call sea nettles, that live in a fairly prescribed band of water temperature and salinity, so that in the peak of the summer, if you want to go swimming, you really have to get into freshwater end of the rivers or the freshwater end of the bay. And certainly you'll see these in the water and know to avoid them. There is a NOAA website that's just called NOAAseaNettles.gov, and you go there, and it'll show you where they are. It's very accurate. And another trick if you're cruising the bay and there are some sea nettles around is to go to the beach or a sandbar where you can just sit in the water, and as the water flows by, you'll see the nettles approaching, and you can get away from them. You can be in 2-3 feet of water, be very comfortable, but not get stung because you can watch them come past you.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that pretty much are the issues of concern that I hear from people about, you know, the horror stories of the bay that they've heard. And let me tell you, it's greatly exaggerated. Whether it's crab pots or mosquitoes or sea nettles, they're relatively minor annoyances for what is one of the world's wonderful cruising grounds. Now, when you're cruising the bay and you're coming up the bay, and hopefully you're going to be able to spend a couple of weeks here, you would be remiss if you didn't spend a little time somewhere at anchor on the lower eastern shore. The anchorage of Pungateague comes to mind because it's got spectacular sunsets. There's very little development. It's quiet and dark at night. You can see millions of stars. The Pocomoke River I mentioned last week is absolutely worth a visit if you can. The marina in Pocomoke City is free, but it is spectacular. Going further up the bay, the Little Choptank River is very underutilized. There are several nice anchorages in there. We like Phillips Creek very, very much, but there are others. And again, certainly you're going to want to go to marinas from time to time to fill your water tank, get pumped out. But to the extent you can spend time at anchor in some of these creeks, you'll be rewarded with wildlife and scenery that's just unbelievable. Yesterday, anchored over in a little Waicomico, there were 5 ospreys sitting in the air currents above a bluff.
Oh, how beautiful.
And a bald eagle came in and started harassing one of the nests, and the 5 ospreys worked together to drive off the bald eagle. This is, I guess, a fairly common occurrence here in the bay. As we left the little Waicomico yesterday afternoon to come to Tangier, there were dolphins playing in the bay. So if you can, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to go to marinas, but I hope everybody will spend some time in some of these anchorages.
Anchor.
Yeah, if you're coming up the bay, just inside the mouth of the Potomac on the Maryland shore is Smith Creek, with several anchorages where there are, 500 yards around, and there's room for 1 or 2 boats with sandy beaches to go for a walk. It's just gorgeous. St. Mary's River, I touched on that. At St. Mary's River, you can anchor right off the college. You can go ashore. You can go to the dock and get water. You're welcome to walk up the hill to their beautiful new dining hall, and you can have all you can eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for $9. And the food is very good. The students rave about it. So certainly a stop there in St. Mary's is A, one of the most scenic anchorages, and B, historical archaeological digs are worth visiting, and it's a great place to go out for a really inexpensive dinner. And there's even a small campus bar there, too, if you're into that. Then the Patuxent River above that is very seldom cruised, but there are several anchorages such as St. Leonard's Creek where you can anchor in deep water, well protected, with sandy beaches nearby. Further up the bay, we highly recommend a number of anchorages in the Choptank River, which I discussed last week. In the Miles River and in Eastern Bay, there are anchorages such as Dividing Creek in the Wye River, where you can anchor and the trees literally will brush your mast. And it's a gorgeous anchorage. Yes, on the weekends it certainly is popular. There'll be 5 or 8 other boats in there, but during the week there'll be nobody there. And it's a national wildlife refuge. with a shore access and trails. So it's absolutely worth going, anchoring there. It's protected. It's a hurricane hole. Coming back across the bay from Eastern Bay and the Miles River, very popular anchorage is the Rogue River. In the Rogue River, there's a lot of undeveloped land that belongs to the Smithsonian, and they do a lot of research there at the Smithsonian Research Center. And they, if you call them in advance, they generally will allow you to land and hike. They have a natural history trail and a history trail, both of which are fascinating. They're trails through the woods, so on a hot summer day, it's a nice way to spend an afternoon. And there's an old plantation, and they have rebuilt the tobacco barns and the tobacco processing equipment. So that's another very lovely, though popular, anchorage with a fun project or fun activity, if you will, going ashore. Departing Rogue River, your next stop is Annapolis. Again, that's so well covered that I probably don't need to tell you too much about it. There are marinas, there are moorings that you can take in town, and it's in that city, every road ends at a public landing. At the town, the main city of Annapolis is built on between Spa Creek and the Severn River. If you go up Spa Creek to near the head, there's a huge park. You can anchor off the park and dinghy in, and it's got trails. It's a great place to take your dog. Super protected, and it's not unusual for cruisers to pull in there in mid to late September and stay for a month during the boat shows. So that's the Spa Creek side of Annapolis. The Severn River has got very high bluffs compared to the eastern shore and the rest of the bay, at least. And there are a number of great anchorages in there, Weems Creek, Round Bay being two of the exceptional ones. Because it is so well developed, unfortunately, there's not a lot of shore access except where there is a public road that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Weems Creek is actually considered by cruisers to be the back door to Annapolis because it's less crowded than Annapolis. There are actually six or maybe eight large mooring balls there that belong to the Navy, and that's where they take their ships and boats during hurricanes. If it's not hurricane, you're welcome to tie up at one of these balls, and there's a street that lands right there. You can dinghy in there, and it's a relatively short walk from the back door into a supermarket called Grawl's. So Weems Creek is sort of a cruiser's back door to Annapolis where you know it's going to be quieter and actually easier to get to a grocery store. But it's not as easy to get to all the restaurants and the academy and the fun things that people go to Annapolis for. After departing Annapolis, almost immediately north of Annapolis is Mill Creek. What's great about Mill Creek is one of the bay's most famous crab houses, Cantlers, is located on Mill Creek, and it's a very popular anchorage because you can go ashore and crabs, pick crabs. If it's a hot night, you can do it indoors. If it's a nice night, you can do it outdoors. And you clean up all that mess and go back to your boat. That's a very popular stopover. Another popular stopover for powerboaters, and probably not really for cruisers, though, is the Kent Island area. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it because there are many marinas and lots of restaurants. And if you're looking for nightlife and activity, you certainly want to go there. Obviously, from the way I'm talking about it, it's not really my idea of an ideal stop, but there are many restaurants, many bars, all that kind of activity that goes with it, and has just been dredged, finally. So it's relatively easy. You can, as you're coming up the bay, you can come in the southern entrance, go to a marina, and go to a restaurant, and then go out the north entrance, which gets you to the Chester River. And it's hard when I'm talking about the bay not to overuse the superlatives because there are so many beautiful rivers. And the Chester River is just lovely. It winds its way up, I think it's 12 or 13 miles to the colonial town of Chestertown, which has many of the original buildings still standing. It only has a small marina, but it's a great anchorage with easy shore access, and it is, you know, restaurants and shopping, it's very convenient. Unfortunately, there isn't a grocery store convenient, but for shopping and for restaurants, very convenient.
Well, you know, Tom, when you talk about nightlife, they say the Looper's midnight is 9 p.m., so we're not looking for a lot of heavy nightlife.
Me too. I just spent a night at several nights down at Fred Olverson's Marina on Lodge Creek on the Yocomico. And 8:30 is what they call Callio midnight. Callio is the name of the town down there.
We know the feeling.
Well, and I should mention to you that I visited with Fred, and I'm a member of AGLCA on my own.
Uh-huh.
I told Fred that I thought he has got a wonderful marina, and I hope everybody understands I have no financial ties in this, but he is a very friendly guy. He's got a great marina, and 4 or 5 loaner cars, and it would be a great place if you needed to leave a boat for a little while and go home, or if you needed provision, or if you're going to explore the Potomac. It's wonderful, and I'm trying to work on him to join AGLCA because I think he's going to be great. Again, I have no involvement in it. It's just I spent 3 nights there a couple of weeks ago and had a great time.
Well, we appreciate the recommendation. Thank you, and the refile.
Yep. So let me just think. Where did I leave you? The Chester River. There's Langford Creek and Corsica River are anchorages off of the Chester, which I highly recommend. Corsica River has access to a nice sandy beach. Langford Creek, there's several marinas and a restaurant, and you can get ashore there. As I mentioned last week, going up the bay, once you're above roughly Solomon's, because the water is so fresh, the vegetation and trees grow right down to the water's edge, and you're less likely to find sandy beaches. So Corsica is a little bit different in that regard. And then leaving the Chester River and heading up the bay, I highly recommend. So there's many beautiful little anchorages, but the Sassafras River is worth a couple of nights because there's so many nice spots, nice restaurants, and great marinas.
Uh-huh.
And I have skipped over Baltimore purposely because I'm going to go spend a couple of weeks there late June, so I will be more able to talk to cruisers about it. I have been there, and it is wonderful. No matter what you want to do, you can find it there, unless you want quiet. But those are sort of the places on the bay that if you're going to push on through, you really need to visit. But I tell you, I was just talking to a cruiser in St. Simon's Island yesterday who has cruised the Mediterranean and in Europe and the Chesapeake and Florida and the Bahamas, and they said, you know, if we had to pick one area that we had to stay in for the rest of our lives, we'd pick the Chesapeake.
Oh, what a wonderful thought. Even over the Mediterranean?
Yep. That's what they said. There's nothing in it for me. I just like helping people figure out what part of the Chesapeake would be fun for them to visit because I have some friends and cruisers who want to go to restaurants and marinas, and that's fine. That's great. I have others who absolutely abhor marinas, and that's great. I have friends who cruise with dogs and say, where can you get ashore? And that's very important to them. So we have marked on our chart plotter what we call PFAs, pet-friendly areas, so we know we can go ashore.
Uh-huh.
So should any of the AGLCA members be planning to be cruising up the bay and they have any questions, whether it's marina life or secluded anchorages or in between, whether it's with a dog or with a cat or with a bird, Christina and I are very willing to talk to them about it and help them plan a cruise that fits their interests.
Well, Tom, you have been absolutely fantastic. It's just about time to close. Safe cruising all summer to you and Christina, and just enjoy the Chesapeake. And thank you again for helping us out with these shows.
I appreciate the opportunity very much, and Christine and I look forward to visiting you in Charleston come November.
That'd be fantastic. We'll look forward to seeing you. Stay well, and again, everyone out there, safe cruising.
Thank you. Bye.